You are listening to the Innovation Channel, presenting insights from senior executive game changers. This podcast series is brought to you by Cluster, the innovation brokers.
Hello, and welcome to the Cluster Briefing, a series of podcast interviews created specifically for C-level senior executives. My name is Robert Baldock, and my topic today is Innovation Labs. Joining me is my guest, Gary Brown, the co-founder of the Ford Motor Company's Special Innovation Team, known as the Advanced Product Group, and with a global remit for the small, medium car division, this team was one of the most consistently progressive forces within the ultra-competitive car industry. Welcome, Gary. And let me start with a very fundamental question. Innovation labs are a very hot topic. Seemingly, every company with cutting-edge ambitions wants to climb aboard this creative bandwagon. But is this wise? In your experience, do labs deliver value, and indeed, are they even necessary for delivering innovation?
Well, I don't think I can answer that question on whether labs deliver value or necessary for a number of reasons. I don't believe it's a generic tool that's right for every business, and I think it's really not necessary. Or perhaps it is, and I think that's what we'll cover today. And I think there's four key areas. Firstly is the question of innovation definition. Unfortunately, a well-used term which can have different meaning from industry to industry, company to company. And just to illustrate that, when I first became an innovation director, I was inundated with contact from IT companies selling their products and services, assuming I was an IT leader. Secondly, the industry environment. Is it new, mature, ultra-competitive, low margin, threatened by new entrants? I believe the outcome of the question, should we have innovation, it should always be yes, the need to innovate. But actually, how you get through the industry environment sets the priority areas in that direction, based on the challenges faced. Third, is the company ready and enabled for innovation? Culture, organisation structure, capability, processes and fundings. And the answers to those questions, although not easy, I think help set the scope. In other words, do you want everyone to be innovative or just those in the innovation lab? And fourthly and finally, then the company can choose the appropriate tools, including whether a lab is appropriate. Is it off-site, on-site? External partnerships and inputs required? You may find, as I've often seen the case, that actually many businesses already have good ideas, and the challenge is actually delivering those.
Could you tell me more about the Advanced Product Group that you created at Ford? How did it come into being? And what were the biggest challenges you faced in getting it launched?
Our journey started actually by a failure. So we had very good sponsorship from the very top, very good inspiring leadership, but we had high ambitions, and the ambitions were too great. We were ahead of our time. Timing is everything. So we created a whole new vehicle concept that just wasn't ready. The industry wasn't ready, we weren't ready as an industry, and we weren't ready as a company. So for me, the journey then evolved into being much more focused and targeted. We had an innovation project approach with a specific remit, a focus. Those boundaries, albeit some may believe would constrain the creativity, actually enabled it.
ROI is, of course, a vital consideration. Can we now explore the question of value and the impact that your innovation team had on Ford's products and profits?
Yes, well, we actually went from a scenario, as I said, right at the beginning of failure, but where we were creating a push. We were having to push the innovation solutions, the ideas, the activities that we're delivering to the product lines, to the teams that were going to deliver that to market. And the move to create some pull demand came from acceptance, from showing and delivering value. So the good ideas that came from outside that product line, that delivery team, now suddenly had some credence because they saw the value and the business value. But it's not just about the money. For sure, many of the solutions that were created contributed to the business case, but some were actually negative and cost more. But when added together, and those became really need-to-dos generated by really attractive and compelling insights, created that proposition, and therefore justified a pricing and volume assumption. So when the business or the project teams challenged those to try and take the innovations or cost out, we could then effectively look back and say, well, actually now there is a reduction in pricing and therefore revenue and volume opportunities as well. So in turn, they became locked in. And that's often the challenge with innovation. It's sometimes quite difficult to value specific ideas, and sometimes they may cost nothing. And those, of course, are fantastic in terms of justifying the business. I'll give you an example. If you can be clever with the creation of the product, that it costs you nothing to integrate a feature in good design, but adds value to the customer base, you have a win.
To what extent did you draw upon external resources?
But ideas need visualizing and bringing to life. And sometimes that takes quite a few goes. Prototyping, failure, test, visualize. And not always were the resources, or maybe more importantly, sometimes the nimbleness available internally, just because they were tied up with other things. So again, sometimes we would actually use external support to help us create not just the solutions, help visualize them and help us test those. Now, of course, breaking down industry norms, getting fresh perspective can also be an appropriate challenge, and getting the right stimulus and the right external inputs was something that we almost always achieved through external means, whether that was just through our network, talking to experts, looking at people in parallel industries, or perhaps just partnering with a suitable idea generation or broker.
In retrospect, is there anything you would now do differently? Are there any take-home lessons from that Ford experience that would change your thinking on innovation, and especially Innovation Labs?
As I outlined earlier, starting with big impact, big change ideas was wrong for Ford at the time. We believe, and we did at the time, that timing, organisation readiness, project scope and the boundaries were key for success. The timing was the most critical element of that. Imagine in the car industry, huge investments, long cycle times to pay back those investments. So tipping up with a great idea shortly after they've just invested in 9-10 years worth of tools to make the current solution was just wrong. It was too late. So really, the key value for me and the lesson learned was plan the innovation projects, plan the delivery of your ideas to be at the right moment for the delivery teams, the right moment in that cycle plan. Before anything is too firm within that pipeline, because it avoids change, it avoids disruption, and you've got the best opportunity to sell in.
Finally, what advice would you offer to aspiring heads of innovation and their expectant senior management stakeholders? What are the do's and don'ts of building a successful, in every sense of the word, innovation lab?
Well, we debated setting up a team off-site in central London. I had young new team members that argued this case vigorously. They thought it would be cool, access to inspiration, experts, creativity, etc. But that truly would not have worked for Ford at the time. As I said earlier, ideas weren't necessarily the real problem at Ford. There were lots of them. What we needed to do was make sure they were implemented. Implementation, therefore, meant getting buy-in from the organisation. It meant having credibility and acceptance, and having something that was compelling, that it was a real solution that could be delivered. So we didn't want to create a handed-over-the-wall scenario, but effectively we were handing off to a new team and we had to compel them with something that was tangible. So what we did was created a buzz and excitement internally. We had a special sealed-off area. As much of that was just around the ability to facilitate a space, have post-its and ideas and sketches all over the place. We dressed a little bit more casually, perhaps moved around on scooters. But what we did was create compelling solutions. But more than that, we brought in new team members on a project-by-project basis, cross-functional from across the business, and they became advocates through their existing network. Those project team members, ideally, were then moved on to the delivery team. So they became not only a strong advocate of the process, but actually were the guys that were standing up and defending the ideas through what's a very good process at taking out cost, risk to deliver a product to market. So those were things that were very appropriate. We also needed that dedicated workspace. And it wasn't just about the post-it notes or the sketches everywhere, but it was things like the video equipment, the ability to replay the insights that we'd capture, the observations in a room where the team was creating solutions was quite important. So again, unfortunately, the practicalities, if you're in an open space, that sort of noise and distraction was the reason for having a if you like, a dedicated space. So all of that might sound inexpensive, and I agree, we didn't need much money. In fact, the very small amount of money that we had was really just to fund those we need to get out and speak to people activities, a little bit of materials to foam core, glue guns to make models, very crude, So it wasn't necessarily a high cost, high dedicated facility. But for us, what we felt was important, and if that's what you believe an innovation lab is, that's what you need, but was the engagement with your business and the space for the team to do their work, but not be isolated.
So if I can paraphrase you, it's about bringing the ideas to life and then focusing on their implementation.
Correct.
Gary, thank you for these thoughts. It's been a fascinating insight. And thank you, listeners, for joining me on this cluster briefing. I look forward to welcoming you to future cluster briefings, but for now, thank you and keep innovating.
If you would like even more insights, we have prepared a special point of view paper on the whole subject of innovation. For your free copy, simply visit cluster.net. That's CLUSTRE.net. And click on Innovation Channel. You can also browse our website to find out more about Cluster, the Innovation Brokers.